let my body be filled. At the end of our street is a mission so sweet, where me and all of my friends can get a little something to eat. Though you can't pick and choose, you sure like their stew. And if you don't get fried chicken, what you get, you can use. Praise the Lord and pass the soup. Praise the Lord and pass the bread. Sister, you can bang on your tambourine. Just let my body be fed. For the sake of a prayer, there's a warm welcome there. Bath. Ain't nobody who cares, 'cause they've seen it all before, from the bum to the whore. And if you shout hallelujah, they'll sometimes give you some more. Praise the Lord and pass the soup. Praise the Lord and pass the bread. Sister, you can
hang on your tambourine.
Just let my body be fed.
Destruction used equipment yard, where you could purchase a freshly refurbished weapon of mass destruction for pennies on the dollar, if the price is right. You can reach Tom at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Address your letters and mail to Tom Metzger, the insurgent, just plain old box holder. Good old Tommy will get it.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Terrible Tommy Tom Metzger right here in north central Indiana in a cool, snow-spitting, rainy morning. And it's not too nice out there. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where you send your donations for the show. Most of you have got your donations in for November, but there's still a few stragglers, so let's get it in there. Send your email to that P.O. Box, and you don't have to even put a name on there except box holder, and I'll get it. So, anyhow. Well, this morning we've got merchandise in California, merchandise She-Wolf, and we've got Southern California Wolf Man. And so, merchandise, what's up?
So we have good feedback on the show, Fourth Position Show, and people are happy with the format that have been emailing in to merchandiseresist@yahoo.com. We do have also the information on Robert Depew, some of it, his birth date and death date, April 15th, 1923. Death date is June 30th, 2009. And if people do go up, they can help contribute by getting some of these dates for us. On the website, underneath POW, we have a calendar link that has pretty much people from all over the world. And we then have a memorial link for those who deserve to be on the memorial page that are more racist or racial. That is what's going on there, and if anybody can help get us dates, it would be great.
Cool. Cool. What's going on with you down there, Southern California Wolf?
Well, we're enjoying the sunshine after the we had a little rain at the beginning of the weekend, and now the sun came out yesterday and is drying everything out. It was about 37 degrees this morning, nice and cool, but it'll be in the mid-70s, close to 80 probably today, so everything's good weather-wise down here.
No smog?
Smog? What's that? Well, you know, with the new emission standards here and the lack of industry in the area anymore, the air quality is really improved. So it's not like the old days where it was a little gray out most of the time.
Clean air, but no jobs, huh?
That's correct, unless you want to work at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, and I just heard a report today that one out of four veterans is homeless.
Well, that brings me around to exactly what my morning was all about here. I got a call from one of the members of the Veterans of Foreign Wars group that I know, and he wanted to meet with me because he's becoming more and more concerned about homeless veterans, and he said that they all like my letters to the editor so much they want me to write the letter to the editor about helping the homeless veterans. So I'm going to meet up with him and get that straightened up. You know, there's one good idea that one of our people came up with, one of our friends, and that was he carries around a bag of canned food in his car, his truck. When he sees a homeless veteran or even a homeless white person, he stops and gives them a few cans of canned food.
That's a great idea.
And that is good. And I do that too. And I even put a spoon in the, put it all in a little baggie, and I throw also a little bit of propaganda in there, of course. You know, almost like trying to convert them to Jesus, but the opposite.
Maybe that depleted uranium CD would be a good one.
Yeah, and another thing I'm thinking about is doing that on DVD instead of CD, because Wolf Wall Street sent me some videos on it that I resent out to all you people last week, and something about treason, but anyhow, that these people are putting out on video, which is, you know, people like video. So I think what we ought to do is put it out in video, and then on the outside put beware images that are, you know, don't show your little kids or something, you know, so everybody will want to look at it, you know.
Yeah.
So rather than just the audio, I like the audio because I do other things and listen to it, but we're living in a video society, so we might as well go along with that.
Well, you know, and even Wall Street during the Fourth Position Show had mentioned, too, that, you know, if a documentary is done in a professional manner and looks professionally produced, people are going to be more willing to accept the information.
No, that's true. That's true. I wish I'd have had a bunch of them. I had the audio with me yesterday, but I stopped down at the American Legion, and, of course, They do a real spread for the veterans, at least here in this town. They had all free food. They had drawings for money all day, and they had free drinks. I mean, you know, so anybody that went in there, homeless or not, didn't have to spend a dime, and they could stay there all day, you know.
And there was a news story related to this subject at SeaWorld. There's a military promotion. A lot of these theme parks and other businesses do these promotions for veterans, and someone was complaining that they were more towards the newest veteran, the active duty, than they are for veterans. And this guy that was in the article in the paper was in Vietnam. Anyway, at the bottom in the comments, the part that was really interesting, there was a man that wrote he was a naval aviator and did the Vietnam thing. He said, "I don't want remembrances, giveaways, flags, or parades. I just want to ignore the entire time and not be reminded of it decades later. If I want in your stupid park, I'll pay for it. The military of today are exactly like my generation, dupes, not heroes. Suckers for the political, military, industrial complex." And here's the part that caught my eye. As a USMC MGEN, Smedley Butler, holder of two medals of honor, put it, "War is a racket, probably the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It's the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives."
That's the one thing I can't stand about Veterans Day is instead of just memorializing people, they don't concentrate on the war is a racket. And I saw in Chicago News this morning where there were all kinds of people parading down the street in their uniforms and all that. There was a group against the war and veterans against the war, and there couldn't have been more than a dozen people there, and you know, they sort of played them totally down. Well, I know on the cable TV, yeah, all day, for the last couple of days, they've had all these World War II veterans, and some, I guess, from Vietnam, on there telling their stories about their bravery and all that. And I have not, I'm all for saying, you know, if a guy's in battle, he's got to do what he's got to do. But they were going at it like, I mean, you know, worshiping war. I mean, you know, and then, you know, the guy came at me with his bayonet, and I came at him with my gun, and I dropped the bombs on Germany, all that kind of stuff. So it's almost a war worship.
You can almost turn it around on them anymore, because a lot of these old veterans that love to tell their war stories are not in favor of the current political situation. And you can just, well, what did you do all that fighting for if you got Obama as president and they're all concerned about the socialization of this welfare state in creation?
Yeah, in fact, more that the legislative skullduggery goes on when the veterans are outside the country. I mean, just for example, the Volstead Act, which people couldn't buy anything, any alcohol to drink. They pushed that through while all the guys were over there in World War One. And so a lot of legislation that's real damaging to the race is pushed through while so many guys are overseas.
Well, that's true, and the same thing happened during the Vietnam War with all the civil rights legislation. So, you know, you can just turn it right around and right on them and go, well, hey, what the hell were you guys fighting for? Look at the condition of the country is in today.
Yeah, right.
So, therefore, they wasted their time, they wasted their lives, you know, what did they go out there and fight for to begin with?
I saw this morning on TV showed Obama and his brood going through Arlington, walking through, and if that isn't a hypocritical thing, oh yeah, this is something else. I had a dream last night that I was on an airplane sitting beside Obama, and we were talking a little bit, but I don't think much, and we had a jug of beer there and stuff, but I think I was the only one drinking, but anyhow, it was a weird dream. It was very realistic.
That is really weird.
My buddy Obama, yeah.
I think a lot of the military, and the reason why there's a lot of, where they, if they do get the guys to talk and they go over, like, honoring war and so forth, it's because to make it matter that they did something, you have to have that. But I think there's a conflict because there's a lot of hoopla, but then their memories are, they're taking lives. So you've got the psychological, that's where the psychological problems come in. People are saying you're a hero, you know that, but you know in your mind that you were taking people's lives right and left.
Well, another thing to remember is at least 85% of everybody that's ever been in the military were in support groups. They weren't on the front lines. I would say only about 15% of the people, maybe at a height of World War II, there might have been more on the front lines. But, of course, considering the millions we had in there, maybe not. But I'm saying that a lot of guys who are in support groups create a lot of stories out of whole cloth and, you know, talk to their buddies about it and people who don't know any better and they don't know whether they did these things or not, you know.
Well, you know, and part of the psychological issues that these veterans are having and even current enlistees is, you know, they've grown up in the church and loving Jesus and loving mankind and you know, they've joined the military, volunteered to join the military, have been trained to become killers, which is counter to how they were raised. And so there's that psychological conflict, that subconscious conflict that they have. And it's a battle and it's a struggle for most of them. Granted, you have those that join the military because, well, they do want to go out there and kill people. And if they don't, if they're during even their downtime, they're looking to stir things up. So, you know, it draws a certain psyche, to the military, but then there's that also internal conflict with, how they were raised.
I think the farther a veteran was behind enemy line, I mean, away from the front, the more they brag. The guys that were in the real crap and, where it was really bad and they were shooting it out, they don't talk as much about it. It's the guys who are way back in support groups that talk more about it and brag about it than anything else.
Well, you know, it's just like the schoolyard when you were a kid or in high school and boasting of, you know, you had those kids that like to boast about their athletic prowess or chasing the girls. And usually those that spoke the loudest were the ones that did the least.
That's true.
Well, it took about a decade for the Vietnam vets to get to the point where they were at the shelters, and now they've got the guys just coming back. And they're at the shelters already, so they know there's going to be an avalanche of need for health and mental health and all these services because they've got, like I said, 1 in 4. They're there already at the shelters.
I was talking to a friend of mine who I graduated from high school with yesterday, and he's never grown up. He's still bragging about all the girls he had sex with in high school. And he exaggerates unbelievably, you know. I said, oh, yeah, right, okay, right, you know.
Now, I was wondering, there is some news that I saw that the airline pilots are, there's a severe shortage, and a lot of them are retiring. But didn't they used to hire from the military a lot of them?
Well, they got Denzel Washington now. He's doing a damn good job. I mean, he can fly. He can fly those planes upside down and the whole bit.
Yeah, well, I think they used to get them from the military, but maybe they're not anymore. I don't know.
Well, they won't have to now since Denzel's going to have that ghetto recruiting effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. When I go onto a plane to fly any place, the first thing I do is look in the control room in the front of the plane and see who's the pilot and who's the navigator. I want to know if they're white. And luckily, I think every time I've flown in the last several years, they've always been white. But they're getting older. That's for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Well, they are talking about this brain drain that's going to be occurring, and we're already seeing it in certain industries where, and this is the excuse that the corporates have on having these special visas to get people from overseas to take these high-tech jobs because the students here in the U.S. are not qualified for these certain positions for these companies. And now we're having The baby boomers are starting to retire, and there's not enough replacement workers to take over these high-skilled positions, and a lot of these companies are really concerned about that. So did see a story about one company up in Nevada that they were training machinists, and they were just they had formed a consortium with some other businesses in Nevada and got with the community college and put together a program to train certain applicants for their positions, which is the way it ought to be. They ought to have these trade schools that are tied to business.
But your big corporations are hypocrites right down the line, because they're building schools in India and Pakistan and around the world to train those people to come here and take these jobs. So if these corporations would build schools and trade schools in this country and be training young people coming out of high school and college, they wouldn't have shortages.
Right. Well, that's true. And this this story that I saw was about a smaller business. It was like a 250, 300 person company. So that's considered small. And it wasn't one of these multinational corporations that was getting with the community college. So it was a smaller business.
Yeah, it seems like they've been discouraging a lot of the engineering and mechanical courses that they have been steering people towards over the last so many years, towards like web design and customer service and all this sort of stuff. And now they've gotten cut short. So they're bringing in a lot of foreign students. And they even said in an article I was reading about flight schools, the flight schools are way down in domestic applicants, but they're totally full of foreign students.
Well, you know, that's it's interesting, because a couple of years ago I met a husband and wife team that run a flight school, and that is correct. I mean, 95% of their students were Chinese, and this is a local flight school, and if it wasn't for all the Chinese coming in to take flight classes, they would not be in business.
Well, you know, one of the things I think would stop this war problem and take care of the veterans, I was thinking last night about it. I woke up about 3 in the morning. I couldn't get back to sleep. I'm laying there thinking. I'm saying, you know what? Since all wars have a certain amount of money-making behind them, if not something extra, I mean, it could be from the war itself, manufacturing weapons. But the point is that if we, if the government would say to the corporations, since behind the scenes in this war, there's something you want in that country, you want the oil, you want this, you want that, and we're occupying it to get it and calling it nation building, okay, fine. Well, the profits from whatever you make after this war is over, or even during this war is over, half your profits are going to go to the guys who fought the war, the military. Now, wouldn't that be something interesting to have going on? So that about the time they actually get in there and start bringing out the goodies, probably after the war is over, would be about the time the veterans would be getting old enough they need the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Well, then, you know what? Then you would get the lawyers involved and Congress involved going, okay, well, define war, because there hasn't been a declaration of war since World War II. Everything else has been a police action. And so they can get around the semantics. And,
well, no, you just say any military operation in the world where American soldiers or Marines or Navy or whoever go, and if it has anything to do with money making, as far as minerals or oil or whatever it may be, that'll be calculated, and half of it's going to be split up with the people you had to go in there and do it for. You do the dirty work. In other words, that's the way they do mercenaries. I mean, mercenaries make a lot of money in some wars. But they go in there and do the job for the corporation, and then they go home making lots of money. Sort of like we've got a lot of them over there right now that are just Corporation troops, and now the CIA's got their own military now. And so I'm just saying that if you wanted to stop wars, that would be a way to stop them, because those corporations would never, their stockholders would never put up with splitting the money with the soldiers who had to do the dirty work.
That's true. Well, you know, and if we had our Aryan socialist state, we wouldn't even be worrying about the corporations. So the state would be in charge of production, and as a socialist state would, providing services for the citizenry.
I'm going to be sending out a quite a lengthy MP3 probably today or tomorrow that I taped in the wee hours. It went on for a couple hours with a whole breakdown of what went on in this campaign, all the racial aspects to it, and what the Republicans ought to do and what they didn't do and what they should do and all this stuff. And it's got some pretty smart boys on there talking. I pretty much come to the conclusion after listening to them, for the white race to save itself in North America, ultimately will have to control the military bases and probably have a dictator, because I don't think the way it looks from everything I've seen so far and what seems to be coming in the future, I don't think there's any way for the white race to save itself in North America without really heavy-duty direct action. And I don't mean just from the people, working people on the bottom. I mean actually like Civil War Civil War II? Yeah, that was written, that book, that paperback book.
Right.
Yeah, that was it.
Well, that's what he said. We've got to be able to control the military bases, because a massive numbers of non-whites are moving around these military bases. You know, hundreds of thousands, millions of Mexicans are surrounding these military bases, and at some point, they'll either have to go along with the Mexicans or fight them, you know. And we need the armaments. And
the way it will be in the future, it will be like those countries that we're going in to invade. I mean, it's going to break down to that. It'll just be different people.
Well, it's going to be interesting because, well, we know that the politicians are not going to be solving our problems. They haven't for the last 150 years, 200 years, really.
No.
And so it will be, you know, militarily, you know, we have our lone wolves in the military. If there's going to be a societal breakdown, it's going to break down partially on racial lines. Some of it'll be religious lines. Some of it'll be ideological. And so you're going to have, multiple factions within society and multiple factions within the military that are going to be breaking apart and fighting amongst each other. Now, whether it's going, you know, and there's going to be temporary alliances between certain groups, and then those alliances will break down and they'll be at each other's throats at times. So it is going to be interesting. The demographic changes have been, I believe, recognized even by some of the Republican Party members. Even Bill O'Reilly came out during the, you know, election process and stated that traditional America is dead. The white establishment is the minority, and this is the result, and that's all there is to it.
And when you get a massive amount of people from other countries that are moving into a country, it just goes to say that it's going to change into a type of establishment that they came from, because that's all that can happen, because that's all they know, and that's what they will go back towards. So if you've got a majority of Mexicans, we'll end up like Mexico. If you've got from India, you know, it's going to change in that context, except you're going to have a lot of different peoples fighting for that.
Well, the Republicans have two choices. The one choice is go full bore a white party. I mean, a militant white party, which they're not going to do.
No.
And number two, they're going to have to become another Democrat party and kiss the ass of all the immigrants coming in and do everything they can to get more and more Mexicans voting Republican. I mean, they're not concerned anymore about whites because they got whites all split up on other issues like abortion and everything else and then the religious stuff. And so they know that, but they need for a while yet the white voters to give it some kind of, you know, some kind of legitimacy, but they're going to have to make a real left turn on this Mexican deal.
I think Rob's it, and they're going towards like Rubio and some of those others now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because the Republicans are the elitist party, and they'll accept, you know, you even had Herman Cain in there, you know, he was one of the directors of the Federal Reserve out of Kansas City, so. I mean, but he was a black boy and he was a businessman. So he was acceptable. And, you know, you've got Marco Rubio, down in Florida, like you mentioned, and they're going to go all out and go for the minority, voter, trying to be, you know, they're still going to try to hold on to their patriotic flag waving, God fearing, Christian type, person. But you know what? If they remain a political party, they're going to be a minority party anymore.
Well, of course. And, now they lost the Cubans in South Florida. The younger, Cubans in South Florida went with Obama. And that was a stronghold for the Republicans of which they could have probably pulled out a victory in Florida, which was an important state if they'd have done things a little differently. But, I mean, definitely they screwed up the whole thing. Romney, I mean, and then choosing that vice president, that's the worst choice they could have made for vice president.
Yeah, Ryan.
Ryan?
Yeah, Paul Ryan.
He sent all kinds of wrong, bad signals that really lost a lot of ground there. But even beyond their idiocy, the forces of the Democrats under Obama have got some heavy, heavy duty Jewish control in there, and they're setting up operations like they had in Chicago where they had whole floors of buildings with hundreds of students in there, all on computers, all going directly to people, talking to them directly. They had a real machine while Romney was going around and speaking to 100 people here and 100 people there. They've gone totally electronic on the Democrat side and just outmaneuvered them totally. And also, even though Rove is a bastard, he's the one who beat the Democrats under Kerry, when Kerry was running, because he came right out of the chute and smeared him with this Swift boat charge and a whole bit. And dirty politics works. It never went away, no matter how much explanation there was. And so Romney didn't use dirty enough politics against Obama, to be perfectly honest.
Well, you know, it's the Republicans try to play, you know, civil, I guess you could call it. And they don't want to get down and dirty like the Democrats do. And you know what? It's to their own downfall. And, you know, they don't call them the grand old party for no reason to begin with. So, they're dying out. I'm sure what we are seeing is, we are going to be seeing some of these, more hardcore, Republican types, maybe that lean more towards, libertarian. Just look at it and say, you know what, they're probably done with party politics and, they're going to join the 58% of us that don't even participate anymore. And you're gonna see hopefully a little bit, of a radicalization of some of these whites that are finally coming to the realization that they're becoming a minority in their own country.
Well, and also, Obama, correctly, because we're living in a, you know, this, television teeny bopper society, he, instead of going out on these regular tours like the Republicans, most of the time he was going on TV on the late night shows and MTV and all that. And it worked because a hell of a lot of those people vote. They don't know cheddar apple butter about what they're voting about, but they vote simply for the person. I know, like in Harlem, they say that every shop up there in Harlem had a picture of Obama in their window. They, of course, they voted race and they voted block voted.
Yeah. So,
I mean, Obama was the cool candidate. I mean, he can go out there and dance and sing and he played basketball and, you know, he's youthful, he's in shape, you know, and he's cool. And then you got the old white guy. I mean, who wants the old white guy? Can't dance, he can't sing, he can't tell a joke.
Yeah.
The social media was hit really hard. I know emails going out.
Well, the bottom line is that the Romney was right about that 47% because it's been known for 1,000 years that when enough of the population find out they can get something for nothing, they're going to go for something for nothing. And so with all these Mexicans coming in, all the blacks that are that way here, and also there's a lot of whites that way, they outnumber any thinking voter totally.
I think the Republicans will get the Mexicans to be accepted by going through the church route, because so many of them are going not just Catholic now, they're going to all the churches, that's how they're going to get them to be accepted by the whites.
Hmm. Well, that's true. And the older Mexicans, they're more conservative. They don't believe in abortion and they don't believe in homosexual marriage. And so they're going to try, the Republicans are going to try to bring them within their fold by going after those issues and embracing probably, you know, the multicultural message even more. But, you know what? There are those that are within the Republican Party that don't like what's going on. And it's funny that there have been 15 states, citizens in 15 states have filed petitions to secede from the United States since the election. So, now they're non-binding, you know, but they filed their petitions on the White House website, We the People, and they want to secede. And, you know, again, it's a non-binding thing. It's all just symbolic. There's no state house that's doing this. But, you know, there is some uproar out there, and that's good.
Well, to save itself, you know, every power deal, a corporation or a government or a system, its main thing is to survive. And the Republican Party, just like any kind of operation like that, the main thing is to survive, and they'll do anything they have to do to survive. I mean, we can look at political parties in the past that changed radically just to survive. And so the Republicans are going to go, they're going to play the Jew left thing, and they're going to go pandering more and more to the Mexicans.
Oh, they will. They will, of course. And, you know, the whole system has been set up by the Republicans and Democrats for their duopoly. And they're not going to give it up. They'll just evolve and change with the times, and they'll change their message slightly, and things will remain the same.
Those talk shows we heard the other day from Wall Street, then you've got those talk show hosts that are saying everybody work together now and then we'll separate after to go against the Jews. So you've got that hitting too. So there's a lot of angles that are being played.
I'm still trying to get that guy's voice out of my head. I just wanted to strangle that son of a bitch. Anyhow, in fact, what's funny about it, he says mother was Jewish, his father was Shiite Muslim. Well, that makes him a perfect total Semite.
That's true. Much difference. The only difference is the religion.
Sure. Well, but even the Islamics go back to Father Abraham.
That's right. The three monotheistic religions are all branches of one religion.
Right.
And that's Judaism.
Right.
So,
that's why I'd rather see somebody go Buddhist or anything like that than I would, any of these three major religions.
At least Buddhism is more a nature-based religion.
Yeah. And what's the Japanese one?
Shintoism.
Yeah, I'm more in line with Shintoism because it's more like Odinism. And when I was over there, I went through the temple there in Tokyo and actually took the rites of Shintoism. So I guess I'm a Shinto priest and don't even know it. I didn't understand a damn word they were saying, but my friend was telling me that, you know. But anyhow, Shintoism is a warrior. It's a warrior religion, but a nature-worshipping religion. And it's more aggressive than Buddhist. Yeah. But I still respect the Buddhists because they tend to be a lot more peaceful and non-warlike and most of the time.
Well, you know, usually with the nature-based religions and the warrior ethic is more not for personal or material gain, but for protecting you know, your homeland or expanding your living space for the betterment of your people, but it wasn't for greed.
Right, right. Anyhow, let's see, what else is new here? I'm a little foggy today.
Well, there's been a lot about military, so I guess it's all because of Veterans Day, but there are a lot of ships, I guess, NASSCO, I guess it's, part of General Dynamics, they were basically on the verge of going bankrupt and going under, but they have a new lease on life because they're getting a lot of orders, and they won't say on one of the companies that's placing the order, so we don't know where that's coming from, but the government's also placing orders, so they're ramping up, and then Iran came out, but.
Romney said we need 100 and some new ships because our Navy is shrinking, but I thought it was sort of funny when Obama fired back and he said, well, you know, you're thinking like the horse and buggy days. It don't take as many ships to do the same thing nowadays with advanced electronics. And I thought that was a pretty good comeback.
Well, you know, they have these new attack ships out there that are basically missile platforms. And as you had mentioned, some of them are even drone where they're unmanned. And they're just missile platforms out there. And you know, they do have those that are have a small crew, and they're not that large of a ship. And, you know, that's probably what those contracts are for down in NASSCO. But I thought it was pretty interesting after the election, you know, on last Wednesday, the markets took a big dump, and, you know, the Dow dropped over 300 points. And then there were several corporations that were upset, so they announced a reduction in workforces, so people were going to be being laid off. So, you know, you're seeing some reaction from this election with the workforce. They are making a big deal about they're expecting 100,000 people to be hired temporarily for the holidays. So that's a good sign. The economy is improving.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you mentioned during the show last week, they're reducing labor hours, but they're increasing the workforce.
Yeah.
That was a clever move by Obama. Did a lot of stuff that those workers should have hated him for. I mean, he deported more people than Bush ever thought of deporting Mexicans. I mean, he actually was, behind the scenes, was tougher on the border than the Republicans.
Well, that's true. And to placate the Hispanics, he was mentioning that, well, they were the criminal element and not just the worker.
Well, so, what saved his ass on that was that Dream Team thing. You know, yeah. 10 million of them, he's going to just say you're in. Well, I think that may be reversed anyhow by the courts, but anyhow, on this military stuff, also people don't think about satellite weaponry now. I'm sure they've got a lot of armed satellites up there that can do more damage than any battleship.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And, that's Big Brother at work. And the big eye in the sky, that's, they're definitely, we live in a surveillance nation, and they've got the, as even with what was brought up with the Benghazi incident, that, the White House and the Pentagon had real-time video.
Well, the other thing, too, is a lot cheaper to build drones than it is to build ships. And, you know, with drones, and of course, they'll probably add laser weapons to these drones, which will escalate the weaponry even higher. I mean, they already got this stuff, so they can make more damaging weaponry for less money.
Well, and you've got the warmongers again last week making a big deal about a drone that was shot at by the Iranians over the Persian Gulf. And, you know, you have some of those talking heads saying that that was an act of war and that we should be at war right now with Iran since they shot at a drone.
Well, those are the people that should be put on the front lines. All those talking heads, I'd prefer them to be out there first. Rush Limbaugh and all those kind of guys, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, hey, I see you got a new Kaiju mayor down there.
That's right. You know, even the Democrats have made inroads in sunny San Diego, California.
Yeah.
It's been, I think, the mid to late 80s was our last Democratic governor. That would have been Maureen O'Connor.
And you mean mayor?
Mayor, yes. And now it's Bob Filner, and he beat the openly gay Republican DeMaio.
Oh.
So what a big choice the people of San Diego had.
Well, what's that other Mexican that was a perennial runner down there? He got in someplace. I forgot what his name. Not Villaraigosa. He's from L.A., but there was another Mexican there that I remember him running every time there was an election, and I think he got...
That's Juan Vargas.
Yeah, Juan Vargas.
Yeah, he's going to be a representative. I think he took over Filner's seat in the House.
Filner's got to be the poster boy for ugly kike.
Yeah.
He is the ugliest damn guy I think I've seen.
Well, you know, and he's got the arrogant attitude to go right along with it. So he's going to fit right in.
Yeah, that's the one where... Our friend down there decided to paper up his office and everything, and then he went to jail. What was that kid's name? And then he stuck the fake hand grenade in the mayor of La Mesa's mailbox. What was that kid?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyhow.
I know.
Anyhow, what's his name? Fulbright? Not Fulbright.
Filner.
Filner was the target of a lot of propaganda by racists.
They're out there big time.
Of course, they use it to their advantage, though, you see. That's the problem. Guys want to harass them, and then they use Mickey Mouse harassment as a big deal. Feel sorry for us Jews, you know.
That's right. Then it's the anti-Semitism against us, so they get the sympathy.
Right.
Yep.
And I think there is a huge age difference, too, is what I heard, too, between Filner and DeMaio, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, Filner is, I would say, in his early 60s, where DeMaio is, you know, he and his boyfriend are in their, you know, early 30s, I think, so, or mid-30s. So, and I'm not sure how the gay vote was split. If so, but the funny thing about it is, you know, on the ballot, I think, that they're not listed by party. They're just listed as individuals. So that may have some influence on that, on how people voted or not. I'm not sure since I don't participate anymore.
I don't think the Republicans are really interested in that race because wasn't DeMaio, was he Republican? I mean, Democrat?
Yeah, he was a Republican businessman, and he ended up selling off his business and going into city government.
Republicans didn't come out support the gay mayor. We got that big town of Hillcrest. I'm surprised all those people didn't get out there and vote. They're probably all Democrat there.
Hey, is that L.A. mayor, you think he's going to be the next governor? I would bet money he will be.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope Villaraigosa, you know, does become mayor. I mean, we need to get the ball rolling and get things worse more quickly than it is.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Well, first they'll put up the whiter Mexicans, you know, for these offices. and then they'll gradually move in the not so white ones. I mean, look at that Menendez over there in New Jersey, Robert Menendez. He won big time again, but he's a white looking guy, you know.
Right. Well, even Mark Rubio down in Florida, I mean, he's Cuban, so yeah. he's going to be lighter. It's not like, you know, he's a Dominican or something. So
they tell me now the Puerto Ricans are moving big time in there, and actually there's almost as many Puerto Ricans in there in Florida as Cubans, and the Puerto Ricans definitely vote left to the Democrats.
Yeah, I think so, and, you know, but I know that Romney went down during the primaries and campaigned down in Puerto Rico, and they have a Republican governor down there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's interesting. That I was a little surprised by that.
Well, that happens every once in a while where, you know, one guy like the governor will be Republican, but everybody else around him's a Democrat.
I thought that the results are really close, though, down in Florida. 50 to 49 point something.
Yeah, I think there was, they finalized the ballot, just a couple of days ago, and I think, Obama won by 80,000 votes.
Yeah, it was really close.
Well, that's another area where if Romney would have, pandered a little bit more to those, I don't know, the Cubans or the Puerto Ricans, he'd have probably won down there.
I can't see him doing it to either one.
Well, I can because he wanted to win. I mean, you know, and these guys, these are political animals. Don't ever think of them, no matter if they're white or not, their big thing is to be elected and get the power.
I just don't see how the people that are kind of writing his speeches and stuff would ever have pulled that off.
Well, there's plenty of speech writers around. They're a dime a dozen, so you can get them all colors, anything, you know, but if he'd have... See, that's what Obama did. He isolated each group and had special messages just for them all over the country. Instead of going for big swaths of the population, he zeroed in on each and every ethnic racial group and hammered away at them and hammered away at them, which was smart, brilliant, actually.
Well, and you know, you have the old adage that politics makes strange bedfellows, and here you have the Republicans with a Mormon presidential nominee candidate, and most of the Republican base are fundamentalist Christians that believe that Mormonism is a cult. And so, but,
just like fundamentalism.
exactly. But our cult is better than your cult. So, but here they are, and I guess their hatred for Obama was greater than their hatred for each other. So,
something about the, something in the news this morning about that Hagee, I think it is, or the, runs a big, one of the giant churches in Texas. That he has said something about going to war with Iran or something he came out with today that it was in the news. I've lost my place on that. I'll see if I can find it on here.
Well, he better go up to Washington and preach that to Obama.
Yeah, you guys keep talking. I'll look for it here.
I was going to say that the whites, the reason why the Republican Party and maybe whites themselves in general just they don't use race as their reason. It's religion. Republican Party, a lot of it's religion. It's not race. And
yeah, you know, they almost replace race with traditionalism. They're the traditional party. And, well, traditionally, the U.S. was white, but not anymore.
All right.
Yeah, and they do have the, you were talking about that Hague. There is something about... Iran's nuclear ambitions could lead to the Middle East Cold War, says Haig.
Well, no, this one was, he says Obama's paving the way for the Antichrist.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's
well, why didn't he say that Obama was the Antichrist?
Well, let's see now. Oh, this is not the one, Hagee. This is Robert Jeffress, senior pastor at the First Baptist Church in Dallas.
Yeah, Haig, I guess it's a foreign secretary.
I want you to hear me tonight. I'm not saying that President Obama is Antichrist. I'm not saying that at all. One reason I know he's not Antichrist is the Antichrist is going to have much higher poll numbers when he comes, said Jeffries. President Obama is not the Antichrist, but what I'm saying is this. The course he is choosing to lead our nation is paving the way for the future reign of the Antichrist. I mean, see, that's the problem. The Republicans are saddled with this insanity that, I mean, you know, is burrowed the way in and there's no way they can get rid of it. I mean, you know, along with abortion and so forth, abortion's almost become a mute point at this point.
Look, they've buried their heads in the sand for so long and they have been dealing in mythologies and non-realities for decades, centuries, that they don't know what is real and what's happening. And the loss of their destiny is slapping them in the face, and all they can think of is the Antichrist.
Well, we had this nutball here in Indiana that was running and came out and said that same stuff like they said the guy down in Missouri made those crazy statements about being raped and stuff like that. And this one here in Indiana was even worse. And he threw the election right into the hands of the Democrat. I mean, this is a Republican state. It's almost impossible to lose running on the Republican ticket, but he sure as hell did it by saying that, you know, even if it's a rape, it's a gift from God.
Well, see, hallelujah.
People, you know, they deserve what they get on stuff like this, but somebody has got to take these damn fundamentalists to task and say, we've had enough of your asses, just shut up, go someplace else, start your own party or something. If the Republicans need to get rid of them, but they won't, and they'll go down with the ship, you know?
Yeah, anyone interested in race, there's no reason to be voting for either side. Republicans aren't for race at all.
No.
Any white racialist that's voting either way, it's stupid. It has no, you're not doing anything.
Hey, I called, tried to call David Petraeus, General's office this morning. I wanted to see if he'd share one of those girlfriends with me, but I couldn't get through. Yeah. What do you think about that, the CIA director? Do you think having a girlfriend on the side has anything to do with running the CIA?
What? Feinstein's jealous. She's attacking him right and left right now.
Well, she's attacking him because he was supposed to give her information that he didn't give her. I mean, I don't blame her for that.
It just goes to show that character does play a big deal and the blackmail has worked. Because he put himself in a situation where he could be blackmailed. Now, he may have all kinds of information about the Benghazi incident. And whether he, even after his resignation, if he's going to be called to testify if there's hearings, because I'm sure the Republicans are going to play that as long as they can, since it was an Obama decision, so not to do anything.
Yeah, but I would say that half the politicians in Washington have girlfriends on the side. I mean, that is nothing. I mean, that is really nothing anymore. They've all got broads on the side.
Well, it is, you know, Washington is full of hypocrites, and, you know, that's really basically all you have to say. I mean, they're politicians. They're born liars.
Just an hour ago, it came out that Cantor's supposedly knew in October about this extramarital affair, and he was tipped by an FBI employee. That's what someone is saying right as of an hour ago.
And would that have been a Mossad plant within the CIA since it was Cantor? Putting a bug in his ear? So, you know, how many moles are you know, within the system even?
Another thing that's interesting is the first time in the nation's political history that a Republican ticket will be absent a Protestant as either the presidential or vice presidential candidate. Of course, Mitt Romney's Mormon and Paul Ryan is Catholic. That's interesting.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, and according to the fundamentalist Christians, neither one of those are Christians. So I think that's funny.
So what are they going to do? What are these fundamentalists going to do? I mean, you know, as far, I think there's more followers of Obama that are Christians than maybe, Mitt Romney. Because you got all the blacks, and you know, they're real Bible thumpers. And you got all the Mexicans, they're Bible thumpers. I mean, you know, just generally speaking.
Well, Obama was the fundamentalist candidate. He was the only, he's come out and said that he's a Christian.
Yeah.
And he's not, you know, and he's not a Mormon and he's not a Catholic.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then that's the fundamentalist Christians that think he's a secret Muslim.
So, but why aren't Obama's forces moving within the fundamentalist whites to bring him over to his side?
Well, maybe they will.
It's race. It's race. They're hypocrites. That's why. They're not going to go in mass over there because they're hypocrites, you know? Anyhow.
Well, they're all corrupt, so you know what? To hell with them all, and I guess we can just enjoy the entertainment, I guess.
I think we got to get into the entertainment business like Donald Trump. I mean, you know, it's all a joke. It becomes such a joke.
It is.
So anyhow, I see, you know, on the Drudge Report, they've got a funny picture of Mrs. Clinton up here on the page. If you go up to Drudge Report, it's got her on there making a crazy ass face with her eyes wide open like and then they got underneath that, I just want to sleep. She's leaving the presidential setup. I wonder who they're going to get as a, I know who they'll get, let's see, they'll get that crazy ass ugly nigger from MSNBC to be Secretary of State, Al Sharpton. Now he'd make a hell of a Secretary of State. I mean, yeah. I think the Arabs would like Al Sharpton.
Well, he's a good Christian too, right? So,
well, I don't know. He's supposed to be a good Christian, so maybe they wouldn't like him. But maybe he could pretend a while. He's ugly enough to be a raghead.
Well, you know, he went after the Jews in New York, so.
And he got away with it too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. So. Who knows? I just enjoy the entertainment. We know the political process isn't going to change anything. And, I think more and more people, as we can see with the statistic of, 58%, not participating at all, that are eligible to participate, I think that, percentage is going to grow after this last election.
Yeah, and I'm going to send you everybody out this MP3 on this seminar that was held, I don't know whether it was live last night, but it was, I recorded it in the wee hours, which is quite interesting. It explores every facet. Now, these guys are not coming out as racist, but there is all kinds of code words going flying around, you know, and even some stuff just flat talking about the whites are losing it, you know. But it's a careful analyzing of just exactly what was going on in a campaign, what's going on here, what's going on there, and what the projections are for 2016, which I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah, and was Hillary Clinton mentioned at all in that scenario?
She may have been. Now, this thing went on for a couple of hours. A
couple hours, yeah. I probably didn't get to.
In fact, it went on for more than that, but I'm not going to use it all, you know.
Well, don't you think Joe Biden ought to be the next president?
Well, Joe's a funny guy. I like funny people. I mean, you know, he's a stand-up comedian.
He certainly is. And I think it would be pretty damn funny.
Well, I don't think he'd do any worse than the rest of them. You think?
No, that's true.
You think he's getting senile?
Well, he'll still be younger than Reagan, I guess. So, you know, he might give it a shot.
Hey, you know, we had a big explosion in Indianapolis overnight, and it blew up a bunch of houses and killed a couple of people. The original report shows you how the media exaggerate things. The first report I heard was hundreds of houses destroyed. Well, it's only a few, less than a dozen, actually. And then a couple of people dead, and they haven't been able to figure out what caused the explosion. That's interesting.
Well, that's Al-Qaeda. They finally came out.
That could be. He closed up his liquor store and went down and planted a bomb, huh?
That's right, just blew up a neighborhood.
Why would an Al-Qaeda risk his liquor store to plant a bomb? My point is that once they get over here, they become just as corrupt and money-oriented and immoral as anybody else.
Yeah, well, I'm just surprised that the initial reports didn't blame an Al-Qaeda because, you know, sometimes it's, you know, well, we don't suspect this or we may suspect this as a terrorist attack, you know, because there's a terrorist behind every bush.
You know, it looks like the Asian Jews are going to take over the game here because London can expect to lose its crown as the leading global center for high finance this year amid a barrage of city job cuts, falling bonuses, and competitions from rival hubs led by New York, Hong Kong, and Singapore.
Well, they're buying a lot of property here, that's for sure.
So by 2015, the explosions in jobs in Hong Kong will have pushed this square mile into third place on a league table of international finance centers, says the Center for Economics and Business Research. So the city of London's losing ground and Hong Kong is picking it up. That's the Sassoon family, the Sassoon Jews.
And they're sending most of their kids over here to get educated because I think they said foreign students are 765,000 foreign students in the top of the list Chinese, so they're sending them here to get educated.
Oh, we've been doing that for so long I can't remember. Before World War II, we were educating all those Japanese and Germans and everybody else in this country, and so that to me, that is a very precious commodity, education, and you should control it very carefully, just like you do your food exports.
Yeah.
And to bring people from other cultures and other races into your country and give them fine educations and send it back just because their mother and father's got some money and the white kid down the block doesn't have any money is suicide.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But hey, we're looking at the greed factor, and all that's important is the dollar bill for them. So
right.
They'd sell their own mothers if they could make a buck off of it.
Well, I think we've about run out of time here. We've just talked ourselves into a total depressive state. I think I'll have to have a drink.
Hey, that drink sounds pretty good. That'll pick up our spirits.
Well, I'll go down and meet my friend and see what we can do for the veterans that are on the street, and I'll try to help them out as much as I can. So anyhow, I got my big sign out yesterday on the fence with big 6-inch tall letters, depleted uranium kills vets.
Oh, that's good.
I get hundreds of cars come by this place every morning going to work. It's a shortcut, and every night, so they're going to see it. And what I really depend on is all these young people and the high school kids that go by this house, they're going to look at that sign and go into school and say, what's that all about, you know, and get the discussion going.
Well, the thing is some of them might be curious enough to even just go online and look up depleted uranium, and they'll be able to access the information that you've been sending out, that's for sure.
That's right, yeah, right. Okay, well, we'll be back with you next Moonsday, right?
Right.
Okay, closing statements, closing thoughts, merchandise.
Closing thoughts. Well, anything people can do to get more information on people that we need to have on that memorial page, the better, because we need to be visiting, talking about Veterans Day, we need to be supporting, visiting these folks that are on the memorial page, that especially the ones that have grave sites near us.
And I had a contact from a man that has done time in prison who wants to really spearhead more of sending stuff into the prisons. So I explained how I operate and that we're, you know, a small operation, don't have a lot of money, and how they need to send at least 5 stamps a month. And then if they want books, send a little more money. And we'll do our best to make sure that all these new prisoners that write get them. And so he's gonna be moving on that score. I think it's important to support the white guys in the prisons. I mean, especially the ones that are salvageable.
Right, right. And are worthy. They've gotta be worthy.
And worthy. Okay, Wolf Southern California, closing thought.
Closing thought is, you know what? Worse is better, and things are definitely getting worse.
I figured you'd say drink more beer.
Yeah, where is that drink?
Okay, I'll talk to you guys later, 14-5, and what do we say?
Shut up.
Well, that's about it today. Yeah, on Moon's Day, right. Yeah, we'll be back with you tomorrow on Tears Day with Lone Wolf Browntown and see how he's surviving there with the flood right in the middle of it there in New Jersey tomorrow. Okay, remember, 14-5, and if you don't listen, you'll have to feel. And war is a Jew harvest. Remember that. War is Jew harvest and Jew thinker harvest.
Hotel room, and I got a ticket in my hand.